2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's been a little bit of time since we have actually looked at the doctrine of second coming of Jesus Christ. We call that prophecy. And there is this whole idea of prophecy. Eschatology is the term that is used in theological circles. And basically, we have tried to be as practical as we could on this. And I'm basically going to go ahead and keep doing study on prophecy until I feel like I don't want to do it anymore. And or for whatever reason, we do not want to continue the series. We have looked at, I believe we preached 9 sermons already. 2 of those sermons was an overview of prophecy. And we have seen that the Bible does give us a systematic theology of prophecy. And so we have seen that our church is a pre-tribulational rapture church, meaning we believe the tribulation or the rapture will happen before the tribulation, that Jesus Christ will come back at the end of that tribulation period. He'll set up a 1,000-year reign of Christ, and then, excuse me, and he'll set up a new heaven and a new earth. And so we showed some of the basic truths of prophecy in those first 2 messages. And we just had a PowerPoint that gave you that information. We saw the judgments in the Bible. And there are at least 7 judgments mentioned in the Bible. We looked at the imminency of the coming of Jesus Christ. That means that nothing has to happen before Christ's church is raptured. It could happen at any time. You know, someone will say, well, I don't think it's going to happen at the beginning of the tribulation. Then you have just destroyed the doctrine of imminency. Imminency is something that could take place at any moment. And so we looked at that. We looked at 2 Thessalonians 2, and that's where we're at right now, 2 Thessalonians 2, and we were talking about correcting false teaching about Christ's coming. Chapter 2, verse 1, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither in spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man, verse 3, deceive you by any means. So there was a tendency on the part of those in the early church to teach a false doctrine that you're going to miss the rapture and you'll be in the middle of the tribulation. I used to watch a film when I was a young Christian. I didn't know anything about the rapture, and it had this setting where this wife was taken up and the husband wasn't saved. And as a result, he was trying to figure out what happened. Well, can you imagine the rapture of the church taking place and you didn't go? So this is kind of the idea that's involved in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, we did focus another message, and I wanted to take us to heaven for a few weeks. And is what we did. We looked at, for instance, there in verse 1 of chapter 2, about the parousa, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the parousa is different than the revelation. So, we go to the book of Revelation, we see the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's always somewhat humorous to me, not in a degrading way, how people who do not know their Bible very well talk about the revelations. Well, it's not the revelations, as if there's going to be many revelations of Christ. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is going to be revealed from heaven. And it tells us in the book of Matthew, when he comes, it'd be like the lightning from the east to the west. He'll come back. And maybe we'll talk about that at some future time as well. But what's interesting is this parousia in chapter 2, verse 1. You still in 2 Thessalonians? Chapter 2, verse 1. This parousia, or this coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto Him. That's one and the same event. That the Scripture tells us that one day there is going to be a meeting in the air. And the Scripture tells us here that it is going to be a time that we are going to be gathered together unto Him. And I just found that fascinating, because that little phrase, gathered together unto Him, is the same term that is used. The only other time it's used is in Hebrews chapter 10, when it says in verse 25 that not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Am I popping here? Do you hear this? Okay, I don't know what to do with that. Okay. All right, so the gathering together. So in other words, when we meet the Lord in the air, it will be somewhat a glorified church service. So we're used to meeting, aren't we? We get together and I see you out chatting with each other and fellowshipping and how's it going, and we pray for one another. Can you imagine one day the Lord Jesus is going to come and we are going to meet Him in the air? No wonder God says don't forsake that. We need that time of fellowship one with another. So there's that gathering unto Him. So got us off into a little bit of a thought process there. The next sermon had to do with our glorified bodies. What is it going to be like when we are taking from this earth and we are meeting the Lord in the air? When Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am," what does He say? "I will receive you unto myself." So what is it going to be like? And we will have a glorified body. No more pain, no more suffering, no more struggles, no more any kind of suffering like we just saw Lexi and the Binocas have gone through. None of that. And the Bible tells us it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful day. But there's going to be a time of rewards. And so we spent a couple messages on the rewards that we will get in heaven. And we looked at those five rewards, and we're told in chapter 4 of the book of Revelation, we will get that Stephanos, that crown, and we will cast it at the feet of Jesus. So that's what's going to be happening in heaven during the tribulation period. Now, I want us to come back to earth, because 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm still popping. I'm not sure why. All right. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 tells us that the day of the Lord will not come. Now, we spent some time, and again, one of the frustrations I have is not everybody heard all these messages. I hope that whenever you can't be here, that you'll, if you're trying to follow the sequence of what we're doing, that you'd go back and listen to those. And we saw that there is this day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is not a 24-hour day. It's kind of used in the same context of, you know, in my day, we wore bell bottoms. Or in my day, we didn't have automobiles. You know, those kind of things. In other words, there is it's in this day, this period of time. We saw, according to Isaiah
chapter 2, Isaiah chapter 13, we saw it in Revelation chapter 6, that there is a day, a period of time called the day of the Lord. There is a sense in which in the Old Testament, the day of the Lord was a day of judgment, but there was a period prophetically mentioned in the future. Jesus said it's going to be the most terrifying time that's ever existed on planet Earth. Revelation tells us there are seven seal judgments. There are seven trumpet judgments. There are seven bowl judgments. Christ is going to come back. He's going to set up His millennial 1,000-year reign. And the day of the Lord begins at the beginning of that tribulation period, and it takes us to the end of the millennium when God sets up a new heaven and a new earth. So we saw that the day of the Lord was spoken of as a day that takes place right after chapter 4 in the rapture of the church, 1 Thessalonians 4. If you remember, if you're staying here in 2 Thessalonians 2, it says in verse 5, the apostle says, "Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things." What did he tell us? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that in a moment that the trump of God shall sound and the dead in Christ shall be, will rise up, will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And in chapter 5, verse 1, "But don't be deceived that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night." Unsaved people live for the night. They live for the darkness, as we saw in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it tells us that we who are believers will not be in the tribulation. We are not appointed under wrath. And that speaks of the wrath that is spoken of in Revelation chapter 6. So all of this we went to. So let's just review, because it's been a while since we have looked at this. Now, here's the thing. What about, you know, when the day of the Lord starts? Now, we know that the rapture could happen at any moment. We are not looking for any signs. When Christ comes back, going to be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. General Electric said that a twinkling of an eye is about 1/1000ths of a second. Now, I don't even know how you'd measure that. But in the twinkling of an eye, we'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So nothing has to happen before the rapture of the church. But certain things will have to happen before the day of the Lord. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. All right? Notice what it says. "Let no man deceive you by any means. That day," what day? The day of Christ, the day of the Lord, "shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." So two things are going to happen before the tribulation starts. And certainly, if the Lord were to rapture us today, then these two things should be in reality even now. Now, if the Lord doesn't come back for another 50 years, what we're going to see is these two things are going to crescendo. I want to just take a few minutes. This is what's tough on a Wednesday night. I'm dealing with such a deep subject of prophecy. And so if I don't finish, guess what? One of the blessings of being a pastor is there's always next week. But in my case, there won't be a next week because I'm going up to Michigan. I got to go see my sister. She's miraculously has lived. And last time I saw her, I gave her COVID. That was not good. She has cancer lungs. So anyway, so next week, I will not be here. So we'll have to spend another 15 minutes reviewing, I suppose. So here we are. We're looking at this first thing. What is the first thing that must happen? That day of the Lord will not come except there be a falling away. Falling away, that's one Greek word which we get the word apostasy. Now some have even tried to say that speaks of the rapture, but I'm not even going to entertain that idea because I don't think that's what it's saying. Because the Bible does tell us that in the last days there is going to be an apostasy. An apostasy is a turning back from. So if I am going in one direction and I turn back from that, I have apostatized. Now, the scripture tells us that there is going to be indications that in the last days there is going to be this turning back from the things of God. Now, I need to give you some context. All right, are you with me? Okay, the context is, okay, we could ask the question, the last days. Now, if you go over to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, it tells us in verse 1, now the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly. Now, how does the Holy Spirit speak? Well, He speaks through His Word. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. Now, our demons seductive? They are. They seduce, just like a woman would seduce a man. Well, the demons seduce, giving doctrines of what kind? Devils. Speaking lies in hypocrisy. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. You know, a person who has no conscience does some of the most outlandish, wicked things and doesn't even have any feeling about it. That's what that means in verse 2. They forbid to marry. They command to abstain from meats which God hath created. Now, it is interesting. We have this little expression, the last times, the later times. The book of Hebrews, chapter 1, we could ask ourselves the question, when are the last times, latter times? When are the last days? Chapter 1 of the book of Hebrews, verse 1, God who at sundry times and in diverse or different manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by who? His Son. Who's His Son? All right? So the writer of Hebrews here says the last days existed in His lifetime. And He spoke to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why Hebrews is going to go on and say Jesus is better than the angels. He's better than the priests. And He's better than the Levitical law. But the point I'm making here is the last days are from the time of Christ until He comes back. So what does it mean that in the latter times these things are going to take place? Well, if you go over to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3. It tells us again in chapter 3, verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days, perilous," or literally, as we see in Matthew 5:28, exceeding fierce days, very troublesome days are going to come upon us. And he's going to give us a combination or a list of things that you would see from the time of Christ until the time of him coming for the second coming. But one of the things that you're going to see is that, yes, there's always been these things, but these things are going to, can I use the word crescendo? It's going to multiply. It's going to become more fierce. It's going to become more wicked. And yes, there's always been pride, and there's always been selfishness. But before the Lord Jesus comes back, it tells us, if you look at verse 13 of chapter 3, evil men and seducers shall do what? They'll wax worse and worse. So these demonic doctrines of devils, these are going to just become more and more everyday life. Now, if you were to take all of these things that are going to be mentioned here, you would find out that if you start combining them, you know, you're dealing with a lot of different personalities. And, you know, we sometimes wonder, why would someone like a Hitler, how could he do such a thing? Or how could a man like Jeffrey Dahmer, I think his name was, he would literally take women and cut them up and put them in his basement. How could somebody even consider doing such a thing? And one of the things that we have to realize is that we are sinners. And if you ever say to yourself, I can't even see how someone could do that, then you have misunderstood how wicked you are. And I say that with all kindness, because we are all capable of doing the most ungodly, wicked thing. And it's only by God's grace that we don't do more. What you're going to see here is the spirit of mankind when the Lord comes back. And it's going to become very, very wicked. Looking at the clock, and I want to take time to take prayer requests and pray. So let me summarize the chapter, and the next time we go through this, we'll try to spend some time with it. Because the Bible says that perilous times will come. If I'd have had more time, I'd have taken you to Revelation chapter 17 that tells us that there is going to be what is called Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon is a one-world church that will exist at the coming of Jesus Christ, or before the coming of Jesus Christ. The false prophet is not some name. He was a prophet misrepresenting God. He's false. What we see in 2 Timothy chapter 2 is that in verses 1 through 4, let me just give you a quick outline. There are religious, or we call respectable sins. And this is why you'll see in verse 5, can we quote that together? having a form of godliness. Now stop there. Religion's big money, folks. Religion is something that is being abused and it's misrepresented. And there is a form of godliness, but there's nothing to it. So there's these religious sins, there's this religion without power, verse 4, there's religious influence, verse 6, religious education, verse 7, religious miracles, verses 8 and 9. But 2 Timothy 3, if you know anything about your Bible, and 2 Timothy chapter 3, you have one of the most common verses for the inspiration of the Bible. You know what it is? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the perils of the last day is religion's going to be bad. But the protection from that is the Word of God. All right? So we got to stop there. So I hope that we understand that what's going on in our world today is no accident. And I must stop. Lord, we ask that you'd give us grace, help us understand your word, and help us, Lord, to do those things that would bring honor and glory to you. Protect us in these latter days, for Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm looking at my supply of pens, and there are none up here. So Brother Tom must have taken it away. Could I get up?